anything, and to simply escape from the whole world of being under divine providence, and that's it, he's starting a new life. And then the captain comes to him and asks him to pray. Interestingly enough, he doesn't say that he prayed. Didn't pray. He didn't pray. Why didn't he pray? Because he ran away from providence. And he said he's placing himself in the world of chance. The ones who pray were the sailors, okay? And then, after a while, he noticed that it was very unusual, this kind of situation at sea, and he concluded that this is an act of divine providence, but an act of negative providence, and he told the sailors, he said, "It is me that God is after. Take me and throw me into the sea, and you will be removed from my fate." So there, at that point, he thought that God, although he is subject to chance, apparently the negative divine providence is really what is taking place, and he is deserving of death, and that was it. What happened to Jonah? What happened to Jonah was that this large fish came and swallowed him. And in the belly of the fish, he says this prayer, praise to God. Now, if you take a look at that prayer, you'll see that in that prayer lies the clue of what went on in his mental apparatus, in his mind, and his intelligence, and what change took place in Jonah. Where the prayer that Jonah prays, he says as follows. It says, And Jonah prayed to his God from within the belly of the fish. And then it says, he says, "I called forth to you from the, he says, I cried and you heard my voice, and I called for you from the Mibetin Sheol," which means that Sheol always means, you know, the situation of death. "You heard me and you heard my voice." And then he says, he mentions about the fact that God, he lived through all these experiences, and God heard his voice. And then he says, "And I had said before that I was cast out from before your eyes. But now," he says, "I see, I will continue to be able to see, to be able to look again towards your holy temple." What is the holy temple? You see, what are you saying over here? This verse really gives you the clue. Where he says, "I said I am cast out of thy sight, yet I look again towards the temple." What happened was, when he said he was cast out from before God, that meant he was living a life of chance. And that was the choice that he made. But then, when he saw that this fish swallowed him, and here's an amazing thing. The Talmud tells us that this fish, it was not a normal fish. It was not a whale, because a human being cannot live inside a whale. But what it was, the Talmud says, it says God appointed this fish. That means it was appointed from the day of creation, which means it was programmed into the creation itself. And it was a unique phenomenon, an aberration. The rabbis of the Talmud amazingly deny and put away the miraculous. They dislike the miraculous. On the contrary, they say that the miracles that we find in the Bible all were programmed into the creation. God loves his universe. God does not like changes laws. But he programmed into the creation certain events that would unfold at certain times. And the miracle that we see is because the prophet knows from God when this event is going to take place, and therefore he informs the people. And the people are aware, and they can partake of this event. In other words, Sinai was pre-programmed into creation. The splitting of the sea was pre-programmed into the creation. But the prophet Moses told the people, and then they knew when it would take place. And that's how the miracle was able to unfold for the benefit of the people. It's an amazing thing. Most, you know, religions are really self-perpetuating, because they like to tell people that, well, you know, we have miracles for you, we have cures, and this is part of the, you know, propaganda of religion. Amazingly, in our religion took the opposite type of approach. On the contrary, it recognized the laws of nature, that God does not wish to change his universe. And on the contrary, The rabbis did not wish to sell religion. They sold. What they were selling was something which was really unpalpable, and that's why religion has not been very successful on the whole, because of the fact that the ideas of the religion are not what people are looking for. The Torah does not sell miracles. The Torah tells us just the opposite, that everything belongs to God's infinite wisdom. God does not want to change his universe. He loves his universe. It's his creation. And the miracles that we see are merely things that were pre-programmed into the process of creation. So therefore, when it says that this fish came and swallowed Jonah, the rabbis of the Talmud say, this was not an ordinary fish. This was a fish that was pre-programmed from the creation itself. Jonah the prophet understood this. And then he came to an unbelievable realization. He came to the realization that of God's infinite kindness. We say that God's kindness is from one universe to another, meaning to say it's infinite. We can't understand his kindness. Here Jonah was able to see, get a taste of what God's kindness is. In other words, he saw that God, at the time of the creation of the universe, knew that there will be a human being that will be caught in a dilemma because he's a prophet. And therefore, God pre-programmed into the creation a certain kind of fish that could give him a certain and can teach him an idea, the idea of God's infinite kindness. When Jonah saw that, he was amazed. He was amazed at the scope of God's kindness, different, totally qualitatively differentiated from what a human. And then he came to one conclusion. He came to the conclusion that he really did not understand God's divine providence. He thought he did. And originally, based on the fact that he thought he knew and understood God's divine providence, and he thought he knew that the mission that he was about to do was inconceivable to his mind, and he could not run away from his mind. He had no choice but to leave the world of divine providence. But when he saw this fish that was pre-programmed from the creation, which gave him the insight into the infinite kindness of God, how much God cares for one person that will live hundreds of years after the creation, and he made the situation ready and available for him, then he says, I see I really did not have accurate ideas about God's divine providence. Once he saw that, he said, that's the case, I retract. I must retract from my position. I must go on the mission. But nevertheless, it was only enough to cause him to go on the mission. But he still had the dilemma in his mind, because he stand the mission and he still felt these people should not be saved. They're too wicked. God shouldn't save people like this. They must be destroyed. Don't give them another chance. Another 10 years, they'll be doing the same thing again. And therefore, while he saw he's not equipped to make a decision to run away from divine providence because he doesn't understand divine providence, and there is no doubt that he got greater insight into divine providence. That's why he says, I thought I was chased away from before you, but I see I will be able to look at your holy temple. What is the holy temple? The temple is the Shekhinah. That's divine providence. That's exactly what he meant. So he gained new insight into what divine providence is and how it works. And he saw he had no right to make that original decision based on a false knowledge of what divine providence is. Once he saw that, he went on his mission, but he still was perturbed because he didn't believe, he did not understand the mission. And there we find the conclusion of the book, where what God did for him was he caused the kikoyon, the castor oil plant, to grow. It was very hot. And Jonah was in a state of despair. He felt he was dying, fainting from the heat. And this kikoyon, this plant, grows up. And suddenly he sees he's shaded and he feels better. And then, in a short time, this plant dies. Then God says to him as follows. He says, did you notice this kikoyon, this plant? And did you notice how badly you felt when it died? Now, how can I not feel badly about a city which has so many people? What is the concept here? What is the analogy between the two? One seems to think it doesn't make any sense. Because he wanted the kikoyon for a very simple reason. Because he was in the heat of the day. He needed something to protect him. So of course he's going to feel bad when this castor oil plant dies. What does that have to do with the city of Nineveh and with God? But the answer over here again is one which shows us great psychological insight. And that is, the prophet teaches us that we are things in a practical way, but whenever you attach to something in a practical way, there is also a certain emotional attachment. In other words, something that you like, that gives you pleasure and gives you joy, you are attached to that thing in more than just a practical way. You have a love for the thing. There's a certain, if you lose it, you feel sad, certain sadness. It's like a part of you. It becomes like an extension of yourself. And that was the parable with the kikoyon, with the castor oil plant. Because when God created the plant, caused the plant to grow, so it was something which was practical. He enjoyed the shade, and it took him out of the heat of the day. But then when it died and he mourned its loss, it was more than just a practical mourning. He was attached to the plant. He had a certain feeling for it. And therefore, God said to him, do you notice how you are attached to that plant? You didn't even plant it. You did no work for it. But it was something that became an extension of yourself, so to speak. Well, I am the creator of the universe. I created man. How can I not be attached in a different way than you can understand to these people? And therefore, in that situation, God taught Jonah the idea of his relationship to man. And he taught him that it was completely different from the way he had imagined. He gave him new insight into the relationship between the Creator and his creatures. Once Jonah gained that insight, he was restored as a human being and as a prophet. So we see from Jonah an amazing thing. We see God always demands of us one thing, that we follow our knowledge. And Jonah was caught. But we see that if a person follows his or her knowledge honestly, that God stands by and helps the individual. When we say an apostate or a heretic, we do not mean a person that uses their mind and therefore denies Torah. We maintain that is not true. We maintain a heretic is a person who is not using their mind properly and is distorting the mental apparatus. On the contrary, that if a person would use their mind honestly, they would see the truth of Torah. If a scientist would study biology properly, they would see the truth of God. If a person doesn't see it, it's because they're distorting the process. And what Jonah teaches us is that we are to use our mind. Never deny your mind. We will not be in the situation of a Jonah who really was taxed to the nth degree to use his mind. We had to run away from the divine providence, but he did the right thing. That's what he was supposed to do. But Jonah teaches us that if we use our mind properly, that divine providence will be there, because God is a teacher. We say God is the great teacher. Hamalame Torah. He's the one that teaches Torah, the ultimate teacher. And Jonah is just a beautiful prophecy where you see God actively teaching man, interacting with him. And man makes steps, and they're correct steps, but they're difficult, very trying steps. God in turn interacts with him, creates situations to teach him and to raise him to a higher level. And this teaches us the concept that God is really for us the ultimate teacher, and that is the ultimate kindness of the Creator. Thank you very much.